If you would, take your Bibles. Turn to Psalm chapter 78. We'll start there. I want to talk to you a little bit more about this, the issue of more than the sand of the sea. And the Lord talks about this several times in the Scripture. And what He's using this as an illustration of, I mean, obviously, when you're talking about the multitudes of people, when you're talking about the multitudes of the enemy, and very, very often in the Scripture, it talks about more than the sand of the sea being the enemy. And if you remember last week, I asked you, doesn't it feel sometimes like the enemies that you have in your life? And I'm not talking just people. I'm talking about enemies of your spiritual life. Enemies, spiritual warfare goes on every single day in Christians' lives. Isn't it sometimes seem like it's like the sand of the sea against you? Doesn't it sometimes seem like, man, Lord, when are you ever going to let up? Man, Lord, I wish you'd remember me. If you read the Psalms, David, oh, man, there's no, to me, David was one of the greatest men in all of the Scripture. But boy, he went through a lot of testing. He went through a lot of times where enemies were chasing him down. He went through a lot of times where he just didn't think his life was going to get any better. He went through a lot of times when he thought, man, where are you at, Lord? It just seems like you're forsaking me. How many have ever gone through days like that? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we went through the vast majority of these last week that we went through. We're speaking of the enemy. We're speaking of the Lord giving deliverance from the enemy. The Lord was speaking of giving deliverance from the enemy because of one specific thing, though, and that was obedience. A lot of times in our life, we overlook this. And I spend a little bit of time, but I'm going to just review a little bit. The Lord really desires you to obey. Just as much as you want your children to obey, God wants His children to obey. God does not expect the people that aren't His children to obey Him. He does not expect that. He realizes that the flesh is weak anyhow, and if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord in you, it's not going to get obedience from them anyway. But if you're saved and you've got the Spirit of God inside your heart, why in the world wouldn't you want to obey what God has told you to do? The Bible says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things that I say? Now, what does that come to, Brother Dave? I don't want to get to the point of where your obedience is converting souls. A lot of people take it right to that. Well, I want to live a good enough life where if my life is good, people around me will see my life and they'll want to come to the Lord. That's lifestyle evangelism. That just doesn't work. Now, I will say this. You can live a good testimony for Christ, but you ought not live a testimony for the people around you. You ought to live a testimony because you owe it to God. You ought to live a testimony because it's your reasonable service. Yes. You ought to live a testimony because you had a man that died for you. Amen. I find it funny. People have no problem trusting God for their eternal life. Really. Faith in your eternal life, going to heaven, seems like it's not that much of a stretch for a person. But to have God provide you with anything else, we have a hard time with it. Think about that for a minute. Have you ever prayed and asked God to give you something because you had to have it? I'm talking maybe you needed a bill paid because you paid your tithe instead of a bill. Boy, it got quiet quick, didn't it? See, what happens is this. We lose our faith in God to take care of the everyday needs of the Christian, just like Abraham did. Abraham didn't trust in God's provision quite often. If you go through, well, he's the father of our faith. Yeah, but Abraham had times where he failed to trust in God's provision. Don't feel so bad, amen? But understand this. Does God love you?
Yes. Amen.
That's an easy answer. God loves you. Does God have your best interest in mind?
Yes.
Amen. So, do you think He's going to provide for you what you need to make it?
Yes.
Now, needs in America are a little skewed, okay? Needs in America, you should put your emergencies on credit cards. It's amazing what changes into an emergency.
Yeah, right.
Because if emergencies were only on credit cards, would they be accepting them at fast food restaurants? I get the biggest kick out of paying 28% for a Big Mac meal. But that's where we're at today. I want you to read Psalm 78, verse number 27. Psalm 78, verse 27. We're going to talk a little bit about this, but I want to get to the, there's a main verse that I want to show you. The Lord has given us great deliverance over a great many enemies. And I really believe if you would review your life, I think along the way, if you would review your life as a Christian, I think along the way you could spot many battles that the Lord has won for you. If you gave some thought to it, I believe that that's why David, after he killed Goliath, hauled his armor around for a long time. He had a tent set aside especially for the armor of Goliath so he could remember the victory that God had given him. David had no business beating Goliath. David had no business going up and fighting that man. But because God was in his corner, he had the business to do what God wanted him to do. Do you know that you're like that, Christian? You've got no business serving God. You've got no business winning battles for him. You've got no business leading somebody to Christ. You've got no business rejoicing in the greatness of God, but you know God makes that available to you. That's a victory. That's a great victory that he does not have to afford us, but because he does, we can be happy as Christians. In a day when it's almost impossible to smile, these are the days when you can smile the biggest because God has truly taken care of us. In Psalm chapter 78, verse 27, the Bible says in verse 26, he caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. Now understand, the Israelites were complaining. Have you ever complained? I complained 3-4 times this morning already, amen? Listen, the Israelites were complaining because they didn't like manna anymore. Lord, I'm sick and tired of this manna. Sick of it. The Lord was taking it. Could you imagine the great, wonderful, taking them through the wilderness, feeding them as they went. They had no business eating that stuff. They had no business surviving. The Lord took them out and provided for them as they needed, yet they complained. How many of us get provided what we need and we complain? Good Lord, have mercy. If I could write down all the times my children complain, they have a roof over their head. They have things. I've got a basement full of toys that literally can't see the floor after the kids have been in there for 20 minutes. Daddy, you never get me anything. Why are you always saying no? You never say yes. We laugh. How many times have we said that to God? Now, God, I've prayed. And you shake your fist, Daddy. And it might be rightfully so. Because you just don't deserve the life that you've been dealt. You just don't deserve to go through some of the things. And glory to God, all of the enemies are like the sand of the sea pressing in on me. I wonder if God has provided for you. I wonder if God has given us the needs that we have and fulfilled them yet. We still complain. We still say, Lord, it's just not enough. We've got heaven to look forward to someday.
Amen.
If the Lord didn't give you another thing, how great is that promise alone?
Amen.
If the Lord didn't give you heaven, just a place to stay after you die, where you could see him once in a while, wouldn't that be enough?
Amen.
The Lord has gone exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think. But it's amazing how little credit we give God for taking care of us. The Israelites walking through the wilderness got sick and tired. Lord, you're providing for me. I'm tired of your provision. Think about that for a minute. Daddy, I'm tired of your provision. You ever had your kids say that to you? I'm tired of what you're giving me. I want something better. I'm tired of cornflakes. I want Count Chocula. I'm tired of Count Chocula. I want Reese's Puffs. I'm tired of that, now I want McDonald's. I'm tired of that, now I want Wendy's. See, what happens is we haven't changed. We haven't changed all the way from the back. Our human nature desires to have something different than what we have. It's not even that it's better. It's not even that it's something different. If somebody has something that you don't have, that's where covetousness comes in. And you desire, man, glory to God. Why do they have that and I don't? I serve God, they don't. How many times have you said that to yourself? Come on now. See, we live in a day and age where the enemies are the sand of the sea, because that's what we see. We don't really see the truth sometimes. The truth is, we've got a great, great ally. And the hills are covered with his soldiers, protecting us, taking care of us. When the battle seems like you can't win, it's already been won. Would you trust in God today to take care of your battles? If you look again, they just didn't want to take what God was giving them. They just didn't want to take. I suggest to you today to be satisfied, though hungry still. To be satisfied with what God has given you, but desiring more. Now listen, not desiring more in so much that you desire more from God, but you desire more to give to God so he can give you more from himself. Amen. What does that mean, brother? It's real simple. How do you learn more about the Bible? Boy, that's a good answer, man. You read it. That's the first thing we always say, isn't it? We read the Bible. Can I ask you something? Be satisfied, get hungry still. It's good for you to read the scriptures, but there ought to be something mixed with that. The Bible talks about being mixed with faith.
Yes.
Now listen. People don't, Christians, okay, they don't seek out the will of God in their Bible reading because they don't have faith enough that God can show them something from his scriptures.
Yep.
Now, you have no problem praying to give you new shoes. You have no problem praying to give you enough money to pay the bills. You have no problem with that. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you prayed before you read your Bible? Prayed before you read, and the prayer was, Lord, I'm going to read your scriptures. When I do that, I'm expecting a blessing. Because this is your love letter to me. Yes, you should read your Bible. But should you read it with no faith? Should you read it without prayer? I opened my Bible, I read it today. Glory to God, you're obedient, and he will bless you for that. But did you go one more step? Did you say, not only am I going to read your Bible, Lord, I expect to get a blessing from you today. Please, Lord, help me to see something that I've never seen. Right. I don't care if you're a Bible scholar. Read the scriptures, asking God to show you something, because in my opinion, my very humble opinion, I believe God can show you something no matter how long you've been in his Bible.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Israelites were not satisfied. I wonder if you're satisfied with the provision that God has given you. I wonder if you're satisfied with your ability to memorize scripture. I wonder if you're satisfied with your ability to read. I wonder if you're satisfied with what you do for God. I wonder if you're satisfied. I'm looking on the other side of the ball now. I'm not satisfied with what God has given to you. Are you satisfied with what you've given to God? Ooh.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Are you satisfied with what you offered to God? He offered his only begotten for you. We won't even give him a day. Here's a thought. I want you to turn to Psalm 139, verse 18. Psalm 139, verse 18. I want you to stay on 18, but I'm going to read from verse 12 in Psalm 139. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You can't hide from him. Everything is done the Lord knows about. I would to God the teenagers could get that in their heads. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. That's why you know when he was hanging on the cross, you were on his mind. He has that ability to see you even before you were made. Listen to this now. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, They are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's a lot of mouthful in there. You could probably pull out 15 sermons in the scriptures that I read you right there. When the times are going bad, and this is what I came to the conclusion. When the times are going bad, our thoughts a lot of times don't stay on God. They just don't. And don't feel bad about that. It happens. Christians, if you go through that sometimes where you just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but can I help you a little bit? The Bible says even in the darkness, God sees just fine. And although in your life it may be dark right now, in your life you may be going through things that you can't even understand why God would let you go through these. I bet you Job felt that way.
Yes.
And I would bet that in the darkest hour he realized God sees just fine. And if you stop and think for a minute, there's one thing that is more than the sand of the sea that should be very special to you and to me. The thoughts of God are on you in number so much that even numbering the sand of the sea would not number the thoughts of you.
Yes.
I don't know how the Lord comes up with some of the stuff that he puts Christians through. But I wonder if sometimes halfway through the tunnel, when you're just about to see the light at the end, I wonder if we stop walking. I wonder if during our fights and during our battles when the enemy is just so many, the enemy is so big, we just can't seem to get through. I wonder if we stop fighting sometimes. I wonder if we throw up our hands, and let me explain something to you. There's been days in my life, lots of them, that I've wanted to throw up my hands and say, Lord, I can't do another thing. I can't go through one more. I can't do it, God. You keep doing this. You keep throwing at me. And every Christian could say, I guarantee you the same thing I'm saying to you today. And Lord, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Can I challenge you just on a side note here? When we talk to each other as Christians, can I help you a little bit? The Christian that you're talking to could be in the middle of that tunnel. So the next time you talk to a Christian and we're bitter with each other, the next time you talk to a Christian and you decide that you'd rather be mean, the time that you talk to a Christian when they could be looking for that hand that a Christian can give, a weaker Christian needing your help, brother, a weaker Christian needing your help, sister, couldn't you one time offer your hand in help? Now, I know that there's Christians out there that will abuse that hand. I know there's Christians out there that will give you help. Come on up, brother. Give you help and have a knife in the other hand. I know that there's Christians out there like that.
Yes, there is.
Let me show you how to fix that. Let me show you how to fix that. Help them up anyhow. Help them up anyhow. Put it out again. Well, I know this person doesn't lie. I know this person's going to stab me. Help them up anyhow. I know this person's going to do wrong. I know they're not going to do right. Help them up anyways. See, we are fighting a battle where there's a rope that's laid out before us, and only a few of us are pulling on that rope anymore, brother. That's not right. The enemy out there is as much as the sand of the sea. Why in the world are we constantly letting people let go of the rope and walk away? We don't need less people pulling today, brother. We need more than ever. We need more people pulling today than we've ever had in history. We need help today. Why in the world would we run around people away? Why in the world we want to tell Christians, I understand. I understand that there's just some times that you just can't help. I understand that. But glory to God, I would rather be on the side of the people that want to help anyhow, even if there's no help to be had. I would rather be the person that thinks, you know what? I've got a God that gives me all the thoughts of the sand. I've got a God that loves me so much. I've got a God that died for me. I've got a God that came to this earth for me. I've got a God that's given me all the beautiful things. I mean, how pretty is this flowers right here? I've got a God who gives somebody the ability to do this. I've got a God that made things beautiful for me, even in Ravenna, Ohio. Amen. I've got a God that loves me. I've got a God that desires me to love. I've got a God that the thoughts of Him to me personally, are more than the sin. The enemy may be great, but God is greater.
Amen.
God is greater. He gives us deliverance. He gives us promise. He gives us provision. He gives us what we need.
Yes.
And more than what we need, He thinks about you. Let me ask you a question. Did you think about God this morning?
Yes.
Now, that's great. Do you know God never stopped thinking about you?
Amen.
Who? See, darkness is not hid from Him. Shines like the light.
Yep.
So while you were sleeping, He was thinking of you. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom why a God would want to think of a sinner like me. I can't. I can't imagine. I know. I believe I know what Paul felt when he said, I am a sinner. I am the chief. Because there's days when I feel like, good Lord, have mercy. How dirty can I possibly be? The closer you get to God, I'll say this until I go to the grave. The closer you get to God, the more you realize how dirty you are. And it's not, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. Because understand this, it's okay. God has covered that up. He's taken that away. Glory to God. He wants you to come just as you are. That's what He wants. All the enemies that are out there, all the sand of the sea that are against you, just as many enemies that are out there are the thoughts of God to you. He thinks of you every step you take. He thinks of you every breath you take. He thinks of you everything you do. He's thinking of you. Glory to God. How can He do that? He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Doesn't matter where you are, His thoughts are on you.
Amen.
I can't even imagine why He would want to concentrate on a person like me. I can't even imagine why He would want to concentrate on a person like...
Because He likes me.
I can't even imagine. We've known Him for 20 minutes. Love went away right away.
I haven't known Him all my life.
He knew you before your life. Check your
That's
Bible.
Right. Amen.
We need to understand something. In the battles we fight today, the battles we fight today, and every person's fighting a battle. I know, I look across this room, every person's fighting a battle. When I talk about battles, people are like, yeah. Yeah, that's me. I'm fighting a battle right now. Brother Dave's fighting battles. Brother Mark's fighting. We're all fighting battles. Every single one of us is fighting a battle somewhere. And you may have a good day, you may have a bad day, but everybody's fighting a battle all along the way. No matter what part of your life that you're in, God's thinking of you.
Amen.
He's thinking of you. In the battle, do you think of Him? And when you need Him the most, do you think of Him? Because a lot of times we try to do this. You ever seen this? You go into a battle. You've got a gun. You've got a bow and arrow. You've got a cannon. You've got a missile launcher. And you will go through all those things to try to win the battle. But right behind you, you've got the guy that can win the battle in one word.
Amen.
We'll try all this first. Boom, boom. We'll try all those things first. And then we'll turn and say, God, I can't do it. All you have to do is ask.
That's right.
That's all I had to do. My thoughts are as the sand of the sea towards you, brother. I thought of you when you picked up the machine gun and misfired. I thought of you when picked up the bow and the arrow fell short. I thought of you when you shot the missile launcher and went over their heads. I thought of you when you took the cannon and it didn't fire because the powder was wet. When you turned around and asked me for help, I thought of you. And when I defeated the enemy, I was still thinking of you. And no matter what you do to forsake Him, He never forsakes you. No matter how many times you try to do things on your own, it doesn't matter. God's still thinking about you. It doesn't matter what you do to Him. He's never going to return the favor to you. Glory to God, we've got a great God. I'm amazed today how much we look in this world and we say, oh, it's just getting so bad. Understand this, brother. We're getting closer to heaven every single day.
Amen.
Amen. We all, the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Are you kidding me? And we say, well, I can't wait. You know what? I can wait. I got a lot of people I got to talk to about the Lord yet. I really do. I look for his appearing, but I hope he holds off so I can tell some more people. We live in a day when God's thinking of us every day in more ways that we can possibly imagine. And in Revelation, I'm not going to turn there, but there's another time. In Revelation 20, verse 8, there's one more time where the enemy is the sand of the sea. Do you know that even at that time, he's going to be thinking about you and me? And he's going to give us one more deliverance. He's going to give us one more provision. He's going to give us one. You know what? I can't wait. This is what's exciting to me about heaven. I can't wait until I go to a place where the battle is finally over.
Amen. Amen.
You ever seen a person that ages rapidly because of battles?
Yes.
I can't wait. I don't know what we're going to look like in heaven. I really don't. We could all be, you know, you think about what your perfect person would be and what you would look like. It's amazing. He made us all unique. I think in that is perfection for him. You know what I mean? He said, you know, I can make everybody different. You know how crazy that is? Think about that for a minute. Even identical twins are different.
Amen.
It's amazing how he has the ability to make everybody unique. I'm glad he made everybody unique.
Amen.
I don't think we need any more of me in this world. I really don't.
Amen.
How perfect did God make you? That you're all by yourself. Each individual fingerprint is different. Each individual cornea, your iris is different. Your voices are different. No matter how you try to be the same as, it's funny, we try to be the same as everybody, yet everybody's different. I find perfection in that from God.
Amen.
I don't know what we're going to look like in heaven. Does it matter?
No.
Think about that for a minute. Does it matter? The food's going to be good. Who cares?
Amen.
See, I think the beef is going to be great in heaven.
Yeah.
Really. Meatloaf's off the menu.
They
don't even exist in heaven. They don't eat it in heaven.
No,
it's not even heavenly food, amen?
You love it.
No, that's a sin, brother. I'm not going to love it. You know it's a sin. Sin is not allowed to be in heaven. It's not going to be there.
No.
Christian, I know the battle's hard. I do. We fight battles. I fight battles. My wife and I, we fight battles. But do you know this? The battles that you fight, they've already been won.
Yes. Amen.
They've already been won.
That's right.
And although it seems like you're never going to see the end, please don't stop walking towards it. Don't stop walking towards the end. The enemies are too hard, Brother David. It's just too many. Not for God. Not for God. His thoughts outweigh the enemy. His ways outweigh the enemy. Our ways and our thoughts could never be his. They're far. His thoughts are far above ours. And no matter what we try to do, could we do this one time? Could we call upon him first?
Amen.
First? Could we seek God first? Could we start our day out saying, God, I'm getting out from behind the wheel. I'm going in the back seat. I'll even go in the trunk if that's where you want me. But Lord, please steer the car today. Because you have my best interest in mind. You've been thinking about me all night. You knew this day was coming, God. So please take control. Take control and guide my life. If we did that, would the battle seem as great? Would some of the enemies be knocked out if we knew God was fighting for us? When you try to do things on your own, you're going to lose the battle. Christian, you'll lose it. You don't have a choice. In your flesh, well, it's no good thing. You're not going to win without him. So why in the world would we want to ask him first? Perfect example. I'm all done. Cadaver, being in the military, has to follow orders.
Right.
If he doesn't obey orders, what happens?
You get punished.
And in the army, it's probably no joke getting punished. Why in the world would we want to disobey an order? Now, I, I,
I think that there's times that humans will give orders in the army that shouldn't be followed, that kind of thing. But I really believe that in the army and in the military, they say if you make an order, you got to follow the order. You got to carry it out. Would you agree with me?
Amen.
Amen. So if God has given us orders, why in the world do we adore Him all the time?
Yes.
That's right.
God has given us orders. Fear not. That's an order.
Yes.
Fear not. Why are we afraid all the time? Why are we shaking all the time? Why are doomsday's coming? Who cares? You got heaven coming too. Glory to God. We worry so much all the time about the things we can't control. You can't control it. Let God drive. He's got your interests in mind. His thoughts are as the sand of the sea towards you individually. Glory to God. Fighting the battle. But take God with you. Seek Him out first.
Yeah.
Say, God, you got to win this one for me. I'm not going to make it on my own. Do you know how many stories I've heard? Story after story after story after story. People that were obedient to God. And God brought them through. Now listen, it may not be in the way you think it is. It may not be that He drops a bag of money on your back porch. Although God, seriously. I'm not discounting that. And if that would happen, I would praise you for it. I really would. And I would give some of it to the church. But He did take you through. And even though it wasn't exactly what you thought, I wonder if we should thank Him for taking us through anyhow. The next time, or even this time, the power of prayer is great. Talk to your Savior. Talk to God. Let Him know exactly what you're going through. He knows. But let Him hear it. Let Him hear it from you. Tell Him like you really mean it. Read the Psalms. See how David talked to God. Take a lesson. His thoughts are so many. He loves you so much you can't even imagine how much He loves you. Would to God we could love Him back.
Yes.
Just a little. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity to teach Sunday school, Lord. I certainly don't ever want to take it lightly. And Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we have battles. Because, Lord, without the battles, there's no victory. And Lord, please fight for us. Bethel's been going through a lot of battles, Lord. We need You. Lord, maybe we turned our back on You a little bit. Maybe there's folks, and I've probably done that myself, tried to win the battle myself. And Lord, I apologize for that. Lord, I need to have You fighting for me. I can't win the battles without You. Lord, let me, when I open Your scriptures, let me consult You first. Let me pray, Lord, that I want You to be there when I'm reading about You. Lord, let me look to You in every way that I can. Let me try to repay some of the many thoughts that You have of me. Let me have some thoughts for You. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for giving me the ability just to be here, just to walk, just to do some of the things that we take so for granted. Lord God, please help us. Help us to love You. Help us to care about You. And Lord, please give us some great victories. So we can give You all the praise for it. So we can give You all the glory and honor for it. Because, Lord, we sure do love You. And You've done so much for us. Heal up my pastor. Lord, he's in a battle right now. He's in a battle that seems dark and the tunnel is dark. But, Lord, I believe that all the thoughts that You've put towards him are as the sand of the sea. And, Lord, I believe You're going to bring him through. Help him. Help him, Lord. Help us to pray for him. Help us to hold up his arms. Because we desperately need our preacher. Lord, help him today. Let us have a great day in Your house. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.